Thank you, Pastor. What an honor and a privilege it is to stand before you this morning and speak of something so important. More important than anything else in this whole world. It's wonderful that the Lord has blessed us with such a fine pianist and people who are willing to sing to His glory. But it's the gospel being preached that saves lost sinners. It's the gospel being preached that God uses to feed His sheep. I've been practicing my message all week. As most of you know, I'm a truck driver, so I can speak to that windshield in front of me. And I usually start about the week. I get an idea somewhere down the road, but usually start really looking into it and taking my notes and formulating them the week before. This week I didn't have much time on, like we do all day Saturday before Sunday. So I sat down early Thursday morning before work and Friday and put it all together and got it all done. And then I heard him preach last night. That was an absolutely wonderful message. So I had to sit down and rethink my entire message. Not that there was anything wrong with what I had, but he had so much good stuff for me to add to it. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Nothing in this world is sure except death and taxes"? I would like to dispute that phrase this morning. We all know, especially here on the left coast, there are many in today's world who don't pay taxes. In fact, there's a whole lot of taxes paid by many others so that some don't have to. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's the truth. There are many who just don't pay taxes anymore. So paying taxes is not a sure thing, is it? Well, now death, on the other hand, we all know that that's pretty sure, don't we? No, we don't. What about Enoch? In Hebrews 11:5, it tells us that he was translated that he should not see death. We know that God's word tells us that in the second coming, there will be many who are caught up in the twinkling of an eye and shall not see death. So death is not so sure either, is it? There you go. I disputed that saying. Well, I would like to take this morning a brief bit of time and talk to you about something that is a sure thing. It is as sure as anything can be sure. Something that is most definitely a fact, so sure it cannot even be changed. I have one point this morning. You've heard, some pastors get up and we've got 3-point messages, some 7, some even more than that. I've got one. May the Lord be pleased to lay this one point. And if He is so pleased, you will have a hope that is sure as anything can be sure. My one point is this: salvation is of the Lord. And Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This is as sure can be. A sure fact, solid. So sure that it's described as a rock, a stone, a cornerstone, a very foundation that you could build upon and it won't give way. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I've titled my message this morning, "The Rock of Salvation." So you may ask, how can I be so certain of this statement, salvation is of the Lord? Well, quite frankly, God told me. No, I'm not hearing voices. You know, I'm not hearing little birds speaking or anything like that. I'm not hearing anything in the audible form of God. But through the preaching of His Word, God has told me, salvation is of the Lord. With God-given ears of the heart, I have heard the Word preached, and voila. That's all it took. And I believed. And once I had heard His glorious gospel of what a sinner is, and what happens to sinners who don't have Christ? What happens to those who are not God's elect? What happens to those who deserve what they get? Just like I deserved, would have deserved what I should have gotten. When I had heard the glorious gospel of how Christ laid down His life and went to the cross for His elect and paid the price of their sins, I cried out for the Lord. I cried out for His mercy. I cried out for His grace. In Romans 10:13 it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" To call upon the Lord, you must hear the gospel preached. But man cannot reveal these truths to the hearts of men. We speak to the ears on your head, but God must prepare the ears of the heart to hear. Because of sin, our hearts are a stone cold dead. Spiritually speaking, there is no life in us. We are born dead, trespasses from sin. God the Father must by His Spirit cut away that rebellious heart, the one that we come into this world with, the one that teaches us speaking lies from our mother's womb, the rebellious heart that we once loved. God the Father by His Spirit must cut away that rebellious heart and give you a new heart. You must be born again. The Spirit of God came to me when I was dead in trespasses and sin, dead, stinking dead, just like Lazarus. There was no good in me, rotting. And until He brought me into this building, and yes, it was Him who brought me into this building, not me. Into this church house. To hear His Word preached, there was no life in me. I was lost in sin and degradation. There was no spiritual life in me at all. Oh, I had heard His Word preached many times throughout my 40 years, but it fell in deaf ears. It fell on a hardened, cold, dead heart. If my mother was here right now, she could tell you. Plenty of times I had gone to church and heard the Word preached. And it was all about just satisfying her needs because she asked me to come. The only time I'd ever go willingly was for Mother's Day. Oh, I'm going to give a gift to my mom. I'm going to go to church with her today. No, it wasn't until the Lord taught me what I was. A sinner. That His grace became everything to me. His love became everything to me. In Ephesians 2:4 it says, But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, given life, made alive, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved. Amen. In the day of His power He passed by me, and said, "Live." In John 11, 25, it says, the Lord speaking, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In the 14th chapter, verse 6 of that same book, our Lord also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I have a gentleman, I'm not sure what persuasion, I think it's Catholic or something, works with me, and he's always coming in and saying little sayings, and he says them real fast, so it's hard for me. I'm not going to try to repeat the whole thing, but I caught one of the words, and it says, ye must seek. And I stuck to that word. That was one thing that he said that I could catch. And when he was done, I said, but the scripture says, none seeketh after the Lord. No man cometh unto him, unto the Father, but by me. He goes, oh, yeah, that's right. And he walked away, and that was all I heard from the rest of the day. I don't know. I can't explain that. Yet it is not I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. Salvation is of the Lord, from start to finish, and everything in between. I cannot add anything to it. I cannot take anything away from it. Salvation is of Him and Him alone. So then you might ask, well, how can I be so sure of this salvation? Because He who has performed the deeds necessary to save His people is more than just a man. He who was born of a virgin walked this earth perfectly. In every step, everything He did pleased the Father. This one who did everything that was necessary for me was more than just a man. He was not born of the seed of Adam. He is not just any man who walked this earth. He is the God-man, God in the flesh, the Son of the living God. Equal with the Father and God the Spirit, all three of one accord. Three separate persons, yes, yet one in all providence, all of the same mind, all three in perfect agreement. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given lordship, though, of all creation. Turn over to, I know I asked you to turn to Matthew. Just hold your spot there for a moment. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, if you would, please. I was going to read this for you, but I'd like you to read along with me on this. In Colossians 1:15, we read, who, speaking of Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth. Now catch this next part. Visible and invisible. You know, we think we're pretty smart, don't we? We have these fancy new microscopes that can see stuff so small. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's even smaller than that we can't see. Someday we're going to see it all. He's created all of it. Even the dust that you spoke of last night. The stars, the wind. That's not just where it stops. Whether they be thrones, any kingdoms out there, dominions, presidents, principalities and powers. That even goes further, doesn't it? That's not just mountains and air. That's everything. Principalities. If an apple drops to the ground, isn't that a principality? Is that right? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created that principality and the power that it takes to drop to the ground. Everything. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ Jesus, in the solid rock, that in Him shall all the fullness dwell. The Lord Jesus Christ has always been God, and at His appointed time He was manifest in the flesh. You're all familiar with these verses in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am so sure that my salvation was accomplished because God in the flesh provided Himself a sacrifice for all of whom the Father hath given Him before the world was made. All that the Father hath given Him before the world was made. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, He says. This is why He is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God the Father was the first to trust the Son that salvation would be accomplished by His one sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, For He, speaking of God the Father, hath made Him, speaking of God the Son, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was made sin for me. He had to be made sin. He had to take that cross, the punishment of that cross for me, for all of His elect. When He said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, that's why. Because the debt was paid. There's nothing for us to add to it. There's nothing for us to take away from it. The Lord left the people up to their own desires at one time. Did you know that? You know what they all did? Exactly what they wanted to. Crucify Him! Crucify Him is what they did. And that's exactly what I would have done too. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He who was perfect in every way was made sin for me, that I would be made righteous, the righteousness of God in Him. When I contemplate, when I consider how holy the Lord God is, how holy and perfect His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, it boggles my mind. But that's His Word. I may not be able to comprehend it, but I believe it. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
So who is this Lord to you? Are you still with me in Matthew 16? Look at verses 13 and 14. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some other, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Interesting. They made God to be a man. They could only think of God as a man. As a good prophet. You know, this is not in any way something bad towards these two men. But I hold these two men in very high esteem. But they are just men. Just like me. Going through a world of sin and degradation, and by God's grace called out and saved by His Son. You think the people back in that time knew that? About others? You know, they may not have had airplanes and all the fancy stuff that we think we were so smart and have today, but they were just as smart about psychology as we were. They were just as knowledgeable as to what men could do back then as we are today, wouldn't you say? I mean, that knowledge is something we get from experience. We see what man can do to other men. That's what teaches us that. And that's what they thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man. Do you know, it is in our very nature to manipulate everything around us. That's how we get what we want, isn't it? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Some people accomplish it a lot by manipulating, but that's what men do. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot be manipulated in any way. These are the thoughts of the world. They think of Jesus in the ways of men. He's a good prophet. But there must be something that I must add to do whatever it is that he has done. Salvation is actually in my hands. I must receive it. I must make a decision. I. It is our sinful nature to think that we have power over God. Let's continue, verse 15. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say you that he is? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What do you see when you read or hear about this one called Jesus? Do you see just a man? Or do you see the Son of the living God? With all power, with all authority, ruler over every detail, working all things out according to the counsel of his own will. Well, if you do, this verse, next verse is for you. If you see Christ on his throne, if he has revealed himself to your heart, and you see him for who he is, the Son of the living God, who has accomplished what he has set out to do. Verse 17 is for you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Blessed are you if you see the true and living God. For God himself must reveal this to you through the preaching of his gospel. And if God the Spirit is revealing the things of Christ to your heart, then he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. From beginning. Till all the way. It's all of him. Verse 18. Our Lord speaking, after telling Simon Barjona that you are blessed because my Father has revealed me to you, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ the Lord is the rock of my salvation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his people. That's what he just says. How can I be so sure? He said it. Right there in his word. God told me. Right there in his word. In his priestly prayer, interceding for his elect, our Lord said this, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all are mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. When your God says shall, when the God that you believe in says shall, does it mean maybe? Not if the God is Jesus Christ, my rock. When he says it shall, it shall.
That's right.
When the Son of the living God says shall, he means shall. He speaks with all power, the power of the Almighty. There is no if. In Colossians 1, verse 16, we read again, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are the thrones or the dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Is Jesus Christ the rock of your salvation, or are you trusting in something else? Are you thinking you have to do something? That's a different Jesus. If you think he's just waiting for you to make a decision, that's a different Jesus. That's not a rock. That's a maybe. His name is called Jesus, for he shall save his people.
Amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All else is sinking sand. Pastor?
Yeah.